The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so let's review what we did yesterday and then just develop it a little bit more. Okay, so we had five questions on the Hilchos Teshuva Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. One, I'm not going to reread it. One was, why does he, if vidui is, as he defined for, so then obviously, I have to get my mind out of your svar. Then obviously, I know, then obviously doing vidui without tshuva, you're not doing vidui, right? That was question one. Question two was, what is he getting at with the mashal of tovah v'sharis biyado? Because why doesn't he just say lo asa klum, right? Question number three is, why does he repeat the halacha of tzarich lifrod esachet here? He already said that in Perek Aleph. Question four, question three is, why does he need the mishle? Question four is, why does he repeat this halacha here when he already said it in Perek Aleph? And question five is, what do these two halachas have to do with each other, right? That you need to, that vidui without tshuva is like tovo v'sharis biyado, and you need to specify the chait. Okay, so yesterday I gave two approaches, and I want to try to unify them today. Let's see if we can unify them. So, yesterday I thought they were opposites. So yesterday, the first approach I said was just a step, which is that whenever you see the Rambam codify halacha in two areas, then that means that there's two halachic addresses for the halacha. So the fact that he puts it in Perek Aleph, which is about vidui, where is it? Perek Aleph, which is about vidui, and Perek Beis, which is about tshuva, means that on the one hand, mitzvahs vidui demands that you be specific. Okay, that's what he says in vidui. So the tzuras mitzvah of vidui is you have to specify the chait. And I didn't mention this yesterday, I don't think, but if you see his formula of vidui, ketza misvada omer anachata Hashem chatasi avisi pshati lefnecha. So I beseech you, Hashem, I've sinned, I have intentionally sinned, I have rebelliously sinned before you. Vasisi kach v'kach, and I did such and such. That's the specification. Vahari nichamti uboshi b'masai, I am regret and am ashamed of my actions. Ulaolam eini chozer l'davar zeh, and I won't go back to this. Zehu ikaro shel vidui, that's the essence of vidui. V'chol hamarbet lehizvados u'ma'rif b'inyan zeh har zeh meshuvach. The more you go on at length, then the better. So you do see that the more specific you are, the better, but there's a minimal specificity, which is you have to say what chait you did. You can't just do like a stam, I sinned, you know? Okay, so that's in vidui. But then halacha beis, perek beis, is saying that this is also a halacha in tshuva, which is that even if there were no mitzvah of vidui, or even let's say like you're mute and you can't do vidui, well, okay, I can't go that far, right? When you specify the sin, not only is your vidui better, but the tshuva that you've done belayed is better, okay? And we have to see how that is, okay? So that was one approach I gave. The second approach I gave was based on the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim that said that the purpose of vidui is to reinforce your belief that tshuva works, okay? And according to that, from the Kuntres, therefore, if you did vidui without tshuva, so then you still are doing vidui. I'm going to borrow the diuk that I said because this is not part of your shir. So if you look at the Rambam here in Gimel, kol ha misvadeh b'dvarim v'lo gamar b'li b'lazav harzei domeh l'tovo b'sheretz b'yado she'in ha'tvila mo'eles ad shi'ash li v'sheretz. So here's the question. Is the Rambam saying that you did a Maisa Tevila? Yes. He's just saying that the Tevila that you did doesn't help you without letting go of the Sheretz. And the Raya of that is if you, you know, let go of the Sheretz, right, then, or if the Sheretz like spontaneously combusts, you don't need to do another Maisa Tevila. You are already total, you know, in the mikvah, right? So what the Kuntres wanted to say is that you are doing a Maisa Vidui, which is a Maisa of articulating that tshuva works. So what would you say is lacking in that Vidui if you didn't do tshuva? I mean, it is a false statement. Obviously, it's lacking in that sense, right? Which is that you weren't saying the things that you resolved to do because you didn't resolve to stop.
It's like, well, you haven't let go of the
chit. Say again?
You haven't let go of the
chit. Right, but what is lacking in the... in the vidui or in the tshuva? Well, okay, what's lacking in tshuva is you haven't gotten rid of the chait, right? But like, why is this vidui lacking? Because that's what the mashal also implies, that the vidui is lacking. It's like doing tefillah with a sheretz in your hand. The vidui is not going to help you. So if vidui is that which reinforces your belief in the efficacy of tshuva, So can't I reinforce my belief in the efficacy of tshuva, like, even though I haven't done it yet?
Yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing, right? So if the Rambam had said something about kapara here. Yeah, right. He says in Perek Aleph, but like, it's kind of weird, Ikra Chasam in a Sefer, that he doesn't mention kapara here, you know? And by the way, just so you know, I mean, this is another good halakha to go over. What's the raya that you can do tshuva without vidui? There's a famous raya that you can do tshuva without vidui, without saying anything.
Without saying anything?
Yeah. No, it's in the halakhos. This is a famous one that the Rav likes to quote, which we haven't read this year. It's in Sefer Nashim. That's the hint.
Oh, really?
It's in Hilchos Ishus. That's the other hint.
I'm not.
Okay, so that there's this famous halacha in, hold on a second, I don't know where it is offhand, of being Makadish al Tanai, right? So you can do Kedushin to a woman on certain conditions, right? So, and if the condition is fulfilled, then you are Mekudeshes, even like retroactively, and if, she's Mekudeshes, and if not, then you're not, right? So, so you can come up with wacky Tanais, right? So like he goes through a bunch of interesting ones, which you get into interesting definitions. Like for example, I'm going to skip ahead. Hold on. All right. Al Tanai She'ani. Al Tanai. That's the one I'm going to quote, but there's a fun one also. Hold on. I'll go with that one first because that's the one we're going to go to. Yeah. So if you are Makayish and Isha, Al Manas She'ani Tzadik, right? On the condition that you're a Tzadik, Afilu Russia Gamor, even if it's a Jewish Hitler, right? Hare Zo Mikudeshes Misafek. So there's a Safek Kedushin, right? Why? Shema Hirher B'tshuva B'dato. Maybe he had a musing of Tshuva, a fleeting thought of Tshuva in his mind. And if you say Al Manas She'ani Shihu Russia, I don't know what kind of woman is going to say yes to that, right? But I guess, what's her name? Izebel or Zeresh, right?
Or it's just me taking it as a joke.
Right. Okay, fine. Spoil the fun. you're right. Afilu tzadi gamor. So even if you're a tzadi gamor, how is it mikudeshes misafik? Then you're mikudeshes misafik. Shema hear here about avodah zarah b'dato, because maybe you had an avodah zarah musing. She'avun avodah zarah gadolahu mishi harher lavo belibo naseh rasha. Because avodah zarah is a huge avon. Once you muse about it, then you are you become a rasha. So you see from there that the hirhur tshuva is enough to change your status from being a tzaddik to a rasha and vice versa, right? No, it's not. That's the thing, right? Yeah. So I mean, this is its own study. Like, how can that qualify you as a tzaddik? Like, hirhur tshuva just means like what I imagine. Okay, what would be probably a common case of hirhur tshuva that would occur, like even if someone didn't know the halakha. I feel like there's a common case that like probably has happened to many people throughout history. Yeah.
Deathbed,
right? Mm-hmm. Is like deathbed or you're about to die, hear her b'tshuva, boom, you know? But that person is not going through all the hard work of tshuva and changing themselves and like being Kabbalah Asid because they, especially if they know that there's no Asid. So that's a good question about like how this fits into the whole system. Yeah, I'm just bringing it to show. Well, he mentions that. Right, but that is the that case is Amil Misaso. That's if he does tshuva, which is Azivas Chayit Yasirim Machshavto Yumor Believer Shalei Seu Od Nachama Yaid Alav Deyataluma. So you could say you do that all instantaneously. You could say that. Yeah, you could say that.
What case?
Deathbed case. Well, the Rambam was talking about just regular tshuva, comparing it to tshuva Gemura.
Right, and then also saying, like, what about, like, someone who's got a visa, right? Especially for the Rambam, he doesn't get a kapara unless he does tshuva.
Right.
So you can't be kapara al-asid in that sense, right?
To the contrary, you can. It's very easy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. like to your point before. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You're about to die.
Right.
What is kapara al-asid you can meet?
Yeah, you can't do tshuva gemura, right. But saying I'm not going to do it again, I mean, you're right, it's less powerful because you've got the threat of death looming over you, yeah.
That's around my point when you said you only talk when you can do it.
Yeah, right, exactly. You still, yeah, similar LSE love, yeah. Yeah. So the I think the way to think about it is I gave this mushroom, but maybe we could work it out. Is like if you have a person who is like an alcoholic and they say, I can stop whenever I want, right? So the Maisa Dibur that he's doing is a Dibur that reinforces the belief and the ability to change. But is it really doing that when he's saying it and he's still drinking? No, right? So same thing, when you say, when you do a Maisa Vidui and you haven't done Tshuva, the Maisa Vidui you're doing is a statement that reaffirms the belief that Tshuva works. But in, if you're withholding yourself from engaging in it, then it's not going to actually have that kiyum. So it's a video, it's a maisa video without a kiyum, basically, you know? So I think that's the idea. So the question is like, are those two approaches that I was saying contrary or are they unified? Because the approach one was saying that there's a, that there's a two reasons to specify the chait. One is mitzad vidui, one is mitzad tshuva. And this is, I feel like this is consistent with that. Saying mitzad vidui, it's a better action of vidui in terms of a declaration of your sinning before God. And in terms of the tshuva, it's going to have a greater impact on the staying power of the tshuva or on the efficacy of the tshuva if you talk about your chait that you did specifically. Whereas if you just said stam, like I sinned, then that doesn't really, it's not going to connect the lesson of the vidui to the particular tshuva that you did. All right, sorry, Ian. We, in a 15-minute mini-shiv, we don't have time to waste on thinking, thinking with silence. Okay, so let's move on to a new thing. This is something I don't know what to make of it, so I'm just going to show it to you and we'll be perplexed together, okay? So, you know, it's always a fun game to look at where did the Rambam get his halacha from, okay? So the, is it in this Gemara or this Gemara? Okay, so it's in this Gemara here. So it seems like the Rambam source of the Doma V'tovo V'sheretz Biado is Tainus Tazayin Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava. Okay, Adam Shiesh Biado Avera Umizvade V'eno Chozer Ba L'mahu Doma. Someone who has an Avera in his hand and he confesses and he didn't return on it. Okay, what is he comparable to? La'adam Shetovitz Sheretz Biado, to a guy who's holding on to a Sheretz. Afilu Shafilu Tova B'chol Yimimos Sheva Olam, even if he tovos in all the waters in the world, which is kind of a weird thing, lo also lo tefila, the tefila will not count. Zarko Miado, but if he throws it away, Kevin Shetovo Barbaim Sa'ah, once he immerses in 40 Sa'ah of water, Miad also lo tefila, then immediately the tefila will count for him. Shnemar, as it says, Umodev Ozev Yerucham. That's the same passage the Rambam quoted, and then Omer Nisal Vavina El Kapaim El Kel Bashmaim. Now, if you just look at this, it sounds like the Rambam's case, right? Yeah. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that you're trying to fix it while holding on to the source.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, how is the Rambam interpreting that? What's the nimshal according to the Rambam?
You haven't resolved to not do it again.
Okay. Check out. Right. Check out what Rashi or Miuchas the Rashi says. Okay. He says like this. Wait, Biado. Yeah. Sheish Biado Avera, Gezel.
Huh.
Theft. The Eno Choser Bo. So Rama says Eno Choser Bo means you don't do tshuva on it. Rashi says Eno Choser Bo Lashalim es ha Gezel. You don't pay back the Gezel to the guy you stole it from. Lamahu Doma, what is he similar to? To someone who does Tefillah Sheretz Biado. So that sounds like a completely different learning of the halakha, right? That's saying it's a bein adam l'chaveiro chait, where there's damages involved. Or, I mean, I don't know if he's extending it to all damages, but certainly gezel, and you didn't give back the object, right? So it's like, so it's not really a question of how the Rambam got what he got from the Gemara, because that's how I would have read the Gemara. It's a question of like, what's the machlokes between the Rambam and this Miuchas L'Rashi? And it's not just Miuchas L'Rashi, it's also this other person I just discovered yesterday on Ala Torah, the Rav Yehuda Almadari, of course, but he just quotes Rashi. Yeah. So that's something to think about. And then one more question to think about for tomorrow. I would like to understand the Mishlei Pasuk in this context. Okay. So here's the Mishlei Pasuk in full. Mechase pisha'av lo yatzliach umodev ozev yirucham. One who conceals his offenses will not succeed, but one who admits and abandons them will have mercy. We'll receive mercy. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and spoil the pshat for you. Okay. Pshat is in a bein adam l'chaveiro situation. My pshat is if you try to cover up your offenses, okay, then you will not succeed in covering them up. Okay. And the person who you sinned against is just going to get mad at you and not forgive you. But if you fess up and abandon it, then you will receive mercy. And I think I told this anecdote last year or the year before. The example of this was when I was in yeshiva, I walked into my room one day and someone had punched a hole in the wall. Okay. Like a fist size thing in the wall of my room. Okay. And I felt, even though it's not my property, I felt violated. Like someone came to my room and punched a hole in the wall, you know? So we asked all around and like, no one fessed up, you know, my roommate and I. And then months later, we found out that it was someone who did it. And the reason they did it was just like, they were just like practicing martial arts moves and didn't know that there was like a hollow in the wall and they punched it. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And he said, like, I didn't want you to be mad. Okay, I understand that. But now I'm more mad that you tried to avoid, like, isn't our relationship such that like, you know, we can talk it out or like, you know, or showing remorse. So plain pshat is that if you are in a situation where you've wronged somebody, the best thing to do is admit that you did wrong without any qualifications and say you're not going to do it again. In fact, I actually got this when I was teaching at Hafter in my second year of teaching. A kid texted me, one of my 11th grade boys texted me from the principal's office and said, I'm about to get in trouble. Do you have any mishle for me? Okay. So I texted him this idea. I said, whatever you do, don't make excuses, apologize, admit that you did wrong and say that you're not going to do it again. And it's very hard for someone to get to like fume and rage at you if you actually do that sincerely, you know? But the question is, that works for being Adam L'Chavero. What is the idea for being Adam L'Makom? Okay, so that's something to think about for tomorrow. Okay, there's one more thing I want to think about. Hold on. One more thing, but maybe I don't remember it. I don't think we're going to have time for this, but I'll state the question. Anyway, the Gemara quoted two psukim, okay? Mishle and then Echa. Nisa levavenu el kapayim, let us lift our hearts. I think they say el here means like with our palms to God in heaven. What does that have to do with Tobo v'sheretz biado? Like what, your hands have to be empty? Like, you know? Yeah. Okay. So let's try to tackle that tomorrow. Okay.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.